Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for October 15th, 2018. We'll begin our reading today with the front page article entitled Help at Their Fingertips. Agencies Use Databases to Help People in Need by Mary Wyckoff, Danville. People in need are benefiting from a cutting-edge system that allows agencies to share resources online. Since its launch last fall, Central Illinois Community Health Network database has enlisted 61 agencies in Vermilion and Champaign counties and has served more than 1,480 people. Here are some examples. A District 118 social worker wanted to help a child with dental issues whose family did not know where to go. The social worker posted to the network to ask about opportunities. Several other agencies' representatives responded with options for the child, which helped the social worker locate the best resource from the family. Another example, a man with cancer was down on his luck. He was behind on every bill, including rent. He called the Faith in Action office, and a coordinator posted to the community bulletin board seeking resources to help him. She was able to assist the man because of the community wrapping around him. A problem can be resolved in a matter of minutes when local agencies work together. It's a new way of doing social work and community outreach, said Ashton Greer, Community Health Program Manager at OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center. She described the program as an innovative tool that will be more effective for the community. In fact, only 5 other communities in the state are using the software, which is called Charity Tracker. In the United States, 1,380 cities are using it. The Community Health Network is the only group using it in a 130-mile radius. Local agencies can use the database at no charge until February of 2019. The Community Health Network's grant committee is applying for funds to cover the $10,000 annual cost after that. She hopes to enlist 100 organizations, so the cost can be divided among all of them. If a grant does not come through, thus the cost would be $100 a year for each agency, which is less than $10 a month. Agencies are discovering how helpful the database is. Sherry Ashgren, president of the United Way of Danville area, said the database is great for organizations to see what other groups are doing. It's also good for posting bulletin announcements. All of us really appreciate what every agency does and have a great respect for them, she said. She also has learned about other resources, which she has added to United Way's PATH 211 call center. People who call 211 will be put in touch with organizations ready to help with issues, such as emergency shelter, food pantries, daycare, rent or utility assistance, and more. Rob Ketcherside, administrative pastor at Crossroads Christian Church, said it's helped us a lot. Because of its location near 2 motels, Crossroads has seen a lot of people come in seeking help with various problems. There's only so much any organization can do. Ketcherside said, however, with the database, it gives us the opportunity to say, share your story, tell us your needs. We can try to point them in the right direction because of the network. Once a staff member has heard the person's needs, he can access the database to see what services are available. Some organizations use the Community Health Network daily. For example, they use the bulletin board to announce job fairs, employment opportunities, and special events. They also announce what resources are available, so other agencies can tap into those services. In one case, for example, 7 agencies commented on a request for help, all offering their services, Greer said. The database has 177 services, broken down into categories that agencies can search, including childcare, clothing, food, finance, household, and lodging. It's a way of getting in touch with a lot of resources all at once, she said. Of the 61 agencies using the software, 11 are in Champaign County. The local agencies using it cover a variety of services. For example, East Central Illinois Community Action, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Second Church of Christ, Aunt Martha's, Fair Hope Children's Ministry, Love, Inc., United Way, Her House Ministry, Danville School District 118, and OSF Healthcare, just to name a few. Outreach Mission. OSF Healthcare is leading the charge with the Community Health Network, Ashton said. It's part of our outreach to the community. She said the database increases our capacity to serve people and do it well. For example, if someone comes into the emergency department with a health issue, but that problem is exacerbated by social determinants, such as homelessness, the staff can use the database to find additional help for the person. If we get to the root cause, it will be better overall, she said. The OSF mission is to serve people with the greatest care and love. That means offering help beyond the hospital walls. While Greer would like to get more agencies on board, she understands that the concept is new and some ministries struggle with the idea of sharing case files. Also, they may not have the staff to spend time with the system. Things like this take time to develop, and that is what I keep reminding myself. Start small, grow tall, Greer said, adding she appreciates every ministry and organization that has helped the collaborative initiative get off the ground. Greer stressed that the system is confidential and follows all federal privacy rules. It's not a policing device, does not have a complete picture of a client's life, and does not share protected information such as substance abuse. Background. The Community Health Network began in October 2017 as an effort to pull together spiritual and community leaders to identify a way to effectively communicate and also look at poverty from a more holistic perspective, that is, giving a hand up and not a hand out. Planning for the network had begun in September 2016. Greer said in a roundtable discussion, participants came up with two action items: identify a database to reduce duplication of services, and to have a more accurate map of the assets in the county so resources are better known and accessible. As a result, the participants decided to adopt the web-based software called Charity Tracker, which has been renamed the Community Health Network. The program is accessible to all social agencies, churches, or groups, and allows them to see what other groups are doing. The program streamlines client intake and provides accurate records of assistance to all participating organizations. Referrals are simplified as resources, demographics, and funds are updated by each agency in real time. Also, area-wide bulletins and alerts can be posted. The Community Health Network also is working in conjunction with the Vermilion County Health Department's iPLAN, Illinois Project for Local Assessment of Needs, which has developed work groups for substance abuse, obesity, teen pregnancy, and mental health, and also Step Up, which focuses on family life and parenting, mental health, and drugs. And our next article is a follow-up article on that entitled OSF Center Pairs People with Resources by Mary Wyckoff, Danville. Hundreds of people have found help at the Community Resource Center at OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center. Anyone is invited to use the services, even if you're not a patient. We'll help anyone, said Jacob Ozier, Regional Director of the Community Resource Centers in Danville and Urbana. Any community member can call and ask for services. The Community Resource Center connects people with organizations that may be able to help with their needs. The medical center itself takes care of the medical problems, but the resource center goes a step further and helps with other issues, such as arranging for transportation to doctor's visits, The needs do not have to be health-related. When the center opened 3 years ago, the idea was to look at the people using the emergency room on a frequent basis and see how they could be better served. For example, if someone uses the emergency room every week for dental pain, it's better for that person in the long run to find him an affordable dentist and insurance. That will continue to be the focus, Osier said, but the center will help others as well. For example, staff at the Babette Steely Hegeler Cancer Care Center at Sacred Heart Medical Center have called to arrange for transportation services for a patient. Social services staff also may refer patients. The center has 2 full-time workers and 1 part-time regional staff to connect a person to an organization and then follow up. That follow-through is key to helping the person and making him feel comfortable coming back, Osier said. Patients have been happy with the center, he said. The center doesn't charge for its help, and it's open to everyone, regardless of need or income. Navigators will connect a person to an organization that will help for free or at a reduced cost. Here are some examples of services that the center may be able to connect a person with: primary care providers, dental, health education, mental health or substance abuse, spiritual or support network, housing or food intervention, discount medication assistance, legal assistance, mobility or transportation, unemployment or financial counseling, and health insurance. The center was opened while the medical center was part of the Presence Health System. After the transition to OSF Healthcare, Osier said he didn't know what the reaction would be. However, he said from day one, they've been excited about what we're doing. Although OSF Healthcare has navigators throughout its system, the Community Resource Center name is unique, and OSF wants to learn more about it to apply to its other medical centers. Osier also said of the center's staff, we're tied into the community, which is helpful. For example, they're involved in Step Up, which focuses on 3 community issues: family life and parenting, mental health, and drugs. Thus, if the navigator can't find a resource for a person right away, he or she has another avenue to follow. We fit in with the rest of the players, Osier said. Our next article is entitled Soul Garden to Bring Fall Fun by Christopher Moracle, Danville. How can an organization raise awareness for its cause, but also have a ton of fall fun while doing it? Soul Garden Recovery Center mighty have found the answer. The group, whose goal is to assist people in recovery and those that support them, will present its first pumpkin festival from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, October 20th in downtown Danville. We're hoping this event grows every year, board member Dee Ann Ryan said of the upcoming festivities. Some communities have a pumpkin festival for 3 days, and I think this fills a gap in fall activities in Danville. The Pumpkin Derby and Witch's Ride, both are something that's never been done in this area before, said board member Lisa Beeth. The Derby, scheduled for 1 p.m., will see participants design and race their entries across the finish line. A pumpkin kit will be available for $15, which includes registration. Pumpkins constructed using outside materials will be charged a $5 entry fee the day of the race. Registration begins at 11 a.m., and the Pumpkin Garage opens at 9 a.m. See Soul Garden's Facebook page for rules and specifications. The kit comes with axles and wheels. Participants only need a pumpkin. The Witch's Ride is a bike ride for women, though if a man came, we wouldn't deny him, Beth said with a smile. We dress as witches and decorate our bikes, and it's just a short ride from Lincoln Park to downtown. The Witch's Ride for Recovery will be a 1.2-mile bike ride from Lincoln Park to downtown Danville to benefit children and family programs at Soul Garden Recovery Center. There's a $20 fee and is for women 18 years old and older. Registration begins at 10:45 a.m. in the Lincoln Park Pavilion. The ride will begin at 11:30 a.m. SGRC will have drawings at each stop, as well as prizes for best witch and best bike. Participants will also receive a lunch voucher from participating downtown vendors. They are asking all witches to bring candy for children. Women can log on to www.soulgardenrc.org to complete a participant form and pay using PayPal. Forms and payments will also be accepted the day of the event. The Teen Theater Company of Danville will perform Ask Shauna, a 20-minute one-act play about the dangers of teen drinking and driving. The teen-only cast will take the Temple Plaza stage at 3 p.m. and will be directed by Thomas Strain and Cassidy Helfrich. The dramatic script also reminds us that there are other victims whose lives were permanently altered by the fateful decisions made that night. TTCD writes of the play on its website, www.ttcdanville.org. Ideal as the opening to a discussion about teen drinking and driving, the play does not preach, but instead asks teens to learn from the tragedy that unfolds here. Theater can be life-changing. With this play, it can literally be life-saving. If none of these is what you're looking for, nothing says fall like a multitude of glowing jack-o'-lanterns. And luckily for the children in all of us, these should be in abundance, as the Pumpkin Festival will close out the evening with a jack-o'-lantern glow. SGRC asks participants to bring their pre-carved pumpkins to the stage area of Temple Plaza before 5 p.m. Organizers will provide votive candles to light them. If anyone would like to mark the memory of a loved one who died or suffered due to addiction, Soul Garden will dispense an honorarium card to attach to the pumpkin. The group wants to see Pumpkin Festival become an annual fundraiser. Soul Garden Recovery Center, a nonprofit corporation, seeks to take action against the opioid epidemic in Vermilion County by offering services and wishes to one day soon open its own recovery community center. The Pumpkin Festival depends on volunteer support and donations and is still seeking more vendors for October 20th. Contact Ryan for more information at 217-474-3863. That's 217-474-3863. It's a family affair, Ryan said. You can be down here all day. And now we'll turn to our obituaries. The first is for Gladys Maxine Lloyd Phillips Craig, 94, of Danville. Passed away Thursday, October 4th, 2018. Per her wishes, there will be no services. The family requests that in lieu of flowers, a donation in her memory be made to a favorite charity of your choice. Two charities close to the family's heart would be Dementia and Louise Dietz. Next, James Jimmy Edwin Lewin III, beloved son, brother, uncle, and friend, found his way to God's heaven on Wednesday afternoon, October 10th, 2018. Please join us in celebrating the life of a truly extraordinary and courageous young man. In honor of Jimmy, donations may be made to one of the following. Jimmy's favorite charities, the A.T. Children's Project, Florida, Dreamcatchers at the Corey Sickich Therapeutic Riding Center, Williamsburg, Virginia, Friends of Sebastian Inlet State Park, Sebastian, Florida. Visitation is scheduled for noon Eastern Daylight Time Tuesday, October 16th at Shelby Funeral Home, Covington, Indiana, followed by services at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Burial will follow at Hicks Cemetery, Perrysville, Indiana. Next, Karen R. Parker de la Vega, 66, passed away peacefully at home in Hendersonville, Tennessee, on September 12, 2018, after a courageous 10-year battle with breast cancer. As per her wishes, Karen was cremated and a celebration of life will be 3 to 6 p.m. Sunday, October 14th at the Mont Haven Mansion, 1017 Antebellum Circle, Hendersonville, Tennessee, 37075. A memorial service is planned in Georgetown, Illinois, and details will be announced later. In lieu of flowers, we are asking that you please donate to the American Cancer Society, ASPCA, or your choice in her name. Paul M. Arford, 79, of Danville, passed away on October 12, 2018, at Carl Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life on Thursday, October 18, 2018, at 10 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, will be held, with Bruce Thornsboro officiating. Burial will be in Potomac Cemetery in Potomac, with military rites accorded by American Legion Post 210. Visitation will be held on Wednesday, October 17, 2018, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, memorials in Paul's memory may be made to the Veterans Association of the donor's choice. Vernon I. Fultz, 72, of Fairmont, passed away at 6:04 p.m. Friday, October 12, 2018, at Carl Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services, 2 p.m. Wednesday at Robinson Chapel in Catlin, Reverend Mike Roberts to officiate. Burial in the Davis Cemetery west of Fairmont. Catlin American Legion will provide full military honors. Visitation is from 1 p.m. till service time on Wednesday at Robinson Chapel. Memorials to Vermilion County Conservation. Jeffrey Klein, 66, of Westville, died at 2:49 p.m. Thursday, October 11, 2018, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services in Tilton. Louisa Westfall, 46, of Danville, died at 7:10 p.m. Wednesday, October 10, 2018, at OSF St. Francis Medical Center, Peoria. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services, Tilton. All right, and now we'll move on to a few more articles. This one is entitled, Religious Group Plans Public Event, Love, Inc. of Vermilion County, Danville. The public is invited to a praise fest and dessert auction hosted by Love, Inc., in the name of Christ, of Vermilion County. The event will begin at 6:30 p.m. November 1st in the Next Gen Auditorium at Second Church of Christ, 3350 East Voorhees Street. Doors open at 6 p.m. Performances will be given by Joy Bott, Danielle Finkley, Kyle Grist, and P.J. Bourne. In between music sets, desserts donated by local individuals and businesses go on the auction block. There will be also an ongoing silent auction for about 50 dessert items. All proceeds will help fund Love, Inc., part of a nationwide network of 140 affiliates in 30 states. The organization, through local churches, agencies, and volunteers, coordinates services for people in need. And now we'll turn to Rediscover Danville, National Arts and Humanities Month, by Carol Nichols, Director, Illinois SBDC at DAC. October is National Arts and Humanities Month, so this week we will look at the performing arts in the Danville area. Community theater has a long history in our area. Red Mask Players started in 1936 and is one of the oldest community theaters in the state. The group performs at the Catherine Randolph Theater at 601 North Vermilion Street in Danville. This year's season includes A Few Good Men in November, an O. Henry Christmas, the Savannah Sipping Society, and Witness for the Prosecution. Children's shows are offered twice a year and provide a great starting point for young people to gain skills that they will use throughout their lives. Among those, both Dick and Jerry Van Dyke performed in Red Mask as young people in Danville. For tickets and more information, see www.redmaskplayers.com or the Red Mask Players, Inc. Facebook page. Danville Light Opera, began in 1956, and is the oldest musical theater group in the area. DLO presents three regular season musicals, two main stage productions, and a dinner theater production, along with youth and teen musicals every summer. This season begins with Meet Me in St. Louis at the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium in November, John and Jen at Harrison Park Clubhouse in February, Disney's Beauty and the Beast at the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium in March, and Next to Normal in April. For tickets and more information, see www.dlomusicaltheater.com or the DLO Musical Theater Facebook page. The Dark Horse Theater Company of Vermilion County is a relative newcomer. Established in 2013, the group offers a mix of shows, some familiar, some dramatic, some quirky, but all presented with the passion of true performing artists for their craft. This Sunday, you may be able to still get tickets for 80s Zombie Prom at Sleepy Creek Vineyards, which will include dinner, DJ Dustin Danger, a costume contest, photo area, and themed games. Then, in late November and December, the group will perform the classic Little Women for the holiday season with two dates at the Danville Boat Club and two dates at Sleepy Creek Vineyards. The spring show will be Steel Magnolias. For more information, see their Facebook page, the Dark Horse Theater Company, Vermilion County. Watch their Facebook page for an announcement of next year's Lincoln Park Theater Company's next free outdoor summer theatrical production. In past years, the group has performed Mary Poppins, The Sound of Music, and last year, Tell Beth Do Us Part. Start your holiday season with Gregory's Academy of the Arts annual performance of A Christmas Carol on November 8th, 9th, and 10th at First Presbyterian Church in Danville. See their Facebook page for details on times and tickets for this wonderful event. Gregory Duckett is a costume designer for regional performing arts groups and offers workshops and classes in the performing arts. This Saturday, Pumpkin Festival comes to downtown Danville, courtesy of Soul Garden Recovery Center. The day will include a witch's ride with costume bikers riding from Lincoln Park to downtown, a pumpkin derby to determine the fast pumpkins in town, and a pumpkin decorating contest and glow, along with food, craft vendors, and other entertainment. Plus, the newly formed Teen Theater Company will be performing a play relating to substance abuse as a kickoff to their partnership with Soul Garden Recovery Center to spread awareness and hope. See their Facebook page for details. Rediscover the arts in the Danville area. Along the same lines, Dracula to Visit Hoopston Theater. The Lorraine Theater Guild announces Dracula by Stephen Dietz to be performed at 7 p.m. October 26th and 27th in the restored and historic Lorraine Theater, 324 East Main Street. Tickets for this award-winning drama, based on the Bram Stoker classic, are $12 per person and are available at the Hoopston Public Library. 110 North 4th Street, Little Lorraine Theater, 214 East Main Street, Hoopston City Hall, 301 West Main Street, Treasured Roots Flower Shop, 702 West Main Street, and Mr. B's, 307 East Main Street. They're also available online at www.thelorrainetheater.com and at the box office the nights of the performance. The show begins at 7, but the theater will open at 6:30 p.m. It is not recommended for children younger than 12 due to several scenes of mature contact. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for October 15, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon, and I hope you have a great day.